It's good to see you guys today. I hope you've had an awesome week. I hope that you are blessed. And if you'll give me 2 seconds, I'm going to grab my eyes where I can see what I'm reading there. But I hope you've had an awesome week. I hope that you're, you know, let me say something to you about your 21 days of prayer. I hope you're doing that. If you're, you know, don't get bogged down. If you're a little behind, if you get behind, don't worry about getting behind. Just get caught up. You know, I mean, there's no big deal. There's nothing magical about 21 days in a row. But what's magical is what can happen in your life if you'll spend 21 days seeking God, looking to the Word of God, asking God to examine your life and see where you are in your walk. That's magical. That is absolutely magical what can happen in your life. I mean, it's been such a blessing in my life. You know, one of the days that stuck out in my head, and I've said this, and I say this, I try to be very transparent before you. I want to be vulnerable before you. I want to be transparent before you. I'm just as human as you are. I'm just exactly like you are. There's no one person. There's only one sinless, perfect person. His name was Jesus, right? So the rest of us are just a bunch of beggars looking to point somebody else to where to find some bread, right? We're just all in this thing together. But one of the days that stuck out to me in that 21 days of prayer is the days that there was the two buckets. Remember that day? If you've done it, you know that day. There's two buckets. And one was full of junk. And the other one was clean. And the one that's full of junk, guess what? God can't pour anything in the one that's full of junk. Amen? Because it's full of junk. Junk of the world. Junk of everything imaginable that the world throws at us. And I thought, you know, I even said in that process, you know, my one barrel, it may not be full of junk. It's got just maybe a little bit of junk in it. So maybe God can pour some in that, and eventually enough of God will run junk out. And you know what the Lord said to me? He said, isn't that classic you? You know, you just try to compromise that with me and say, well, maybe just a little bit of sin, or maybe just a little bit of rebellion, or a little bit of disobedience. Do you understand what the definition of obedience is? Doing what you're told, when you're told, with the right attitude. Most of us go, ooh, right? I mean, if we're honest, most of us would say, oh my goodness, that hurts me a little bit, because doing what I'm told, when I'm told, or at least even by the Holy Spirit of God, when I'm directed with the right attitude, that's obedience. Anything apart from that, you say, well, Brother Chuck, I eventually get around to it. That's great, but that's still called partial obedience, right? Because you didn't do what you were told, when you were told, with the right attitude. And so I really compromised myself that day. I said, Lord, I guess, you know, some junk in my bucket, in one bucket, it's okay. You know, it's not full. And the Lord said, no, I don't want it to even have anything in it. I want it to be where I can pour all of me in that bucket and not have anything else. And I had to repent of that and say, Lord, I want you to help me empty that bucket. I want everything that you have for me. I want everything you have for me and then some. I want all of that, Lord. I'm going to be selfish in this regard. I want every bit of that. I want what you want for me. And Lord, if it means me emptying myself and being vulnerable before you and transparent, Lord, I pour that junk out of my bucket and ask you to fill it. There's something magical about spending 21 days seeing how God wants you to work and act and walk and be and pray for one another. I hope you're doing that. If you're not doing that, maybe you can catch up at some point. Joshua judges Ruth. That's how I always remember where the book of Joshua is. But Joshua chapter number 5, if you'll stand and read God's word with us this morning, I want you to see some things that the Lord has spoken to me about concerning this 5th chapter of the book of Joshua. You know, the series title is The Dawning of a New Day, and I'm so glad I believe with all my heart that God's the God of a new day, a second chance, a 100th chance, a 1,000th chance, a brand new start over, a get out of jail free card, whatever you want to call it. Amen? Aren't you glad that He's a God like that? I'm so glad He is, because had He given me one strike and I was out, I'd have been out long, long time ago. So would the rest of us. Amen? That's just how it is. That's who we are. We're human. We're apt to fail and faint. But greater is He that's in me than he that's in this world. Amen? So read God's word with me here in Joshua chapter 5. It's about 12 verses, so just bear with us. Read along with us. It says, so it was, when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan, remember they just were recently on the east side, crossed the Jordan at flood stage level. We'll mention that again here in just a few minutes. But so it was when all the kings of the Amorites were on the west side of the Jordan, and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their heart melted and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. Because of what God has done, the people that were in the land, their hearts failed at the presence and the power of Almighty God, Yahweh God, and the children of Israel. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives for yourselves and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time. So Joshua made flint knives for himself and circumcised the sons of Israel at the hill of the foreskin. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt, who were males, all the men of war had died in the wilderness on the way after they had come out of Egypt. For all the people who came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness on the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were circumcised, were consumed because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers that he would give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Then Joshua circumcised their sons, whom he raised up in their place, for they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. So it was when they had finished circumcising all the people that they stayed in their place in the camp till they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, this day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Therefore the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day. Now the children of Israel camped at Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho, and they ate of the produce of the land on the day after the Passover, unleavened bread and the parched grain on the very same day. Then the manna ceased on that day after they had eaten produce of the land, and the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. Father, we just thank you so much for the day. Thank you for the opportunity we've had to worship you today. We thank you, Lord, that what can wash away our sin is the blood. Thank you that all of our sins are forgiven, Father. Thank you that we're not the same. Thank you that because we're not the same and we're yours, that we can praise you in the midst of the storm, Father. And it's so sweet to trust in Jesus each and every day. Have your way in our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. This I want to share with you just for a minute about this entering into the Canaan land, this promised land, and share with you some ideas about what we need to do this morning as we seek God's leadership today. And so the passage finds the children of Israel just having crossed the Jordan and just having gone over to the other side. And so as they are gone over to the other side, if you go back over the history of the Exodus, you think about some of the ways that God has done some amazing things in their life, how he's blessed them, how he's performed miracles for them. You think about how that he brought them out of the land of Egypt through a lot of signs and wonders and miracles. He provided for them through the Red Sea. He gave them food by day and food each day. And then he even gave them quail. He gave them manna. He gave them water from a rock. He gave them provision all along the way. Their clothes never wore out. He gave them protection by the day and light by night. You think of all the things that he did for the children of Israel in the Exodus, how that amazing all of that is and how good that God is and all that. He gave them his law and instructed them in the ways the Lord had to govern their lives. Listen, you and I are people of the Word of God, and this book is given for you and I to govern our lives. There's this idea today, this thing called situational ethics, that you just kind of do whatever based on the situation. And I say to you that there's clearly an ethos of the Word of God, and it's clearly there for you and I, and And there's clearly right and wrong. There's clearly white and black. And so this book is given to you and I in this 21st century so that it'll help us govern our lives and walk in a way that God wants us to walk. And so this is kind of what's happening here as they're preparing to enter in to this Canaan land. They've gone across the river. We know that they went and took 12 stones out of the middle of the river and they set up a memorial on the west side of the Jordan. And then they went and they took 12 more stones and they set them up in the middle of the river. When the waters rescinded, it covered that memorial, but it was so that they could be reminded of this is what God has done for us. And so this is where they are, and now they're camped in the very presence of enemy territory. And the first thing God says to them is, I want all the men that hadn't been circumcised to be circumcised. And I know that word's repeated over and over and over again, and we know what that process is, but we also know that for a Jewish boy, it was at 8 days old that little boy would be circumcised. And so now all the people that are above, that were born in the wilderness wandering, hadn't been circumcised. All the other men had died that were men of war age. Some might be 50, some might could be like 45, and they had been circumcised, but there's a whole generation that has not been circumcised, and there's some significance for you and I about that, and I want you to see that with me this morning as we look at God's Word. Israel was the people of the Lord, people of the law, but now they're about to become people of the land. I love that idea. They were called God's people, and God called them out of that bondage, and He made them people of the law, but now He's about to make them people of the land. And I want to say to you and I are part of that church of that new covenant of grace and mercy, and we're people of the book. Amen? We're people of the Word of God, and God has many great things for you and I if you and I will walk in consecration, if you and I will walk in obedience to the Word of God. What does it say about the people that disobeyed God in the wilderness wandering? They were consumed. You know what that word means, really, right? They were destroyed. So there's something about walking in obedience to the Word of God. Does that mean that you never fail ever again? No, absolutely not. That does not mean that you will never fail again. But it does mean that, you know, living filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine to the point of excess, the Bible says in Ephesians. Don't be drunk with wine to the point of excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. And a lot of people have made that a comparison verse. There's denominations that teach that in a comparison way. They say when a person's filled with the Spirit of God, they'll look and act like someone that's drunk. They'll stagger and stumble and they'll fall down. You know, some kind of spiritual feeling, some kind of spiritual anointing. And I say to you, it's not a comparison verse at all. It says, don't be drunk with wine to the point of excess. It's a contrasting verse. In other words, what that means is when you and I live a life that's filled with the Spirit of God, it will come under the control of someone else. Amen? I mean, a horse that's broken, he's not broken of his spirit to run and jump and race and do all the things. He just comes under the control of a new master. When that bit's put in his mouth, there's a new master. There's a new person in authority in its life. And that's all that God's asking for you and I, is that He wants you and I to walk filled with the Spirit. And what does that mean? How do you be filled with the Spirit? Well, I got filled the day I got saved. Amen? I got filled the day I got saved. And every time that I sin, guess what? That sin doesn't make me lost anymore, but what it does, it disconnects me from the source. It's kind of like this. If you got a fan and you got it plugged in, it runs. What happens when you unplug it? It don't run. Why? Because it's disconnected from the source. When you and I sin, it doesn't make us lost again. When you unplug the fan, does it cease to be a fan? No, it's still a fan. Unless when you can unplug it, it becomes a car. That'd be awesome, right? Everybody go home today and unplug your fans, right? See if it turns into a car. That's not the point, though. But when it's disconnected from the source, it doesn't run anymore. And when you and I sin, whether willfully or our mind wanders or we choose deliberately or whatever the case may be, who drives a car? Raise your hand if you drive a car. If you drive a car, you sin every day. Amen? You do. People are crazy. Are they not? I'm going somewhere the other day. Kelly and I are going somewhere yesterday. We're doing the speed limit. We might actually have been breaking the law a little bit. Maybe about 3 miles an hour. But we were doing real close, okay? and someone pulls up, it's a stop sign. What are you supposed to do when there's a stop sign? Stop. What do most people do in Alabama? Roll on, baby. Amen. That's what they do. And if they roll out in front of you and you're going 75 miles or 70, because speed limit was 65. I said I wasn't going much over. 670. Sometimes it's hard to stop. So you get a little in the flesh sometimes, don't you? And you ever blow the horn at them? Mm-mm. And then they tell you how proud they are of you being number one in their life. It happens. If you ain't from Alabama, you hang on. Amen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. John Crowell, Big Oak Ranch. Big Oak Boys Ranch, Girls Ranch. You know the name. Play football at Alabama. John said he was coming up to Boaz one time. He was doing a family life conference in Boaz, and this car pulled out in front of him, and it had a bumper sticker that said, "Honky if you love Jesus." And John, boop, boop. And God just told him how he was number one in his life. Amen. I would say this to you. If you're going to put a bumper sticker that honk if you love Jesus, you probably should react appropriately. Amen? And not inappropriately. So you understand that when we're disconnected from the source, it doesn't work anymore. It doesn't make me lost. It doesn't make me not a Christian anymore. But what it means is now I got to come before the Father and I say, "Lord, forgive my sin and cleanse my sin and fill me with the Spirit of God so I can get what? Plug back into the source." That's what that verse means, where it says, "Don't be drunk with wine to the point of excess, but be filled with the Spirit to the controlling of my life." The children of Israel are about to have to make some decisions like that. They're about to have to take some steps of consecration if they want to inherit and claim and own and possess the land that God has already given them. And I say to you and to me, that if you want what God has given you and me to inherit and possess and own what He's given us, there's going to be steps of consecration you and I have to take in our life every day as well. Amen? You can't live 50 years without ever talking to the Lord and coming clean before Him, because you live disconnected from the source. We got a lot of believers acting like that, living like that. Well, I got saved when I was 10, but nothing's changed in their life. They say they got saved, but there's never been any urgency about following Jesus. There's never been any fruit in their life. There's never been any time when they've surrendered. Again, back to the signs. If there's a stop sign, it's intended for your safety, is it not? Stop. If it says yield, you're supposed to what? Yield. If traffic's coming, it's not a rite of passage to pull out in front of people going 65 miles an hour. You yield to oncoming traffic for your safety. Right? See, there are signs in our life that God has given you and I about. He says, look, one of those signs is surrender. Surrender. We're not talking about stop. We're not talking about yield. We're not talking about merge. We're not talking about any of those things. What we're talking about is surrender. When you and I come before God and we say, "Lord, here I am today, in all of my stuff, and I absolutely lay it down and I surrender today. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of acting this way. I'm tired of this thing in my life that just keeps me down and keeps me held back and keeps me not blessed. Lord, I surrender today completely to you and your lordship." You know what will happen in your life? Victory happens in your life. Peace that passes understanding happens in your life. All of those things are possible when you and I yield and surrender to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Just as God challenged Israel to move deeper into the promised land and possess and own and occupy that land, He's calling you and I to do the same. If we really want to enjoy the victorious life, Christian life, if we really want all that the Lord has for us, there needs to be some preparation as well, in mine and your life as well. And so let's talk about a few of those things this morning as we press on. In verses 1 through 7, the outline's in your worship guide, by the way, but in verses 1 through 7, we must take the step of consecration. The step of consecration. And what I mean by that, the very first command that the Lord gives, you know, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's tough. I mean, that word circumcised is used over and over and over again. And we're not talking surgically in the hospital as an 8-year-old. We're talking about in the wilderness with flint knives with no anesthesia. Right? This is a tough command for the children of Israel, especially all the men that are age of war and up from birth to now, that some of them are 40 years old and they've never been circumcised. Some of them are 30, some of them are 20, some of them are 10, some of them are 8. Some could be eight days old, understanding when they were born in the wilderness wandering, but they've crossed over the Jordan. They've occupied just the very edge of the promised land. It's called Gilgal now. And they're there, and God says, the very first thing that I want you to do is not build me a temple, not build me an altar, not build me this great Taj Mahal or anything else, but I want Joshua to take some flint knives and circumcise all the men that are of that age of birth and up to this point that have never been circumcised. That's a tough day. Amen. I mean, most of the guys would like, let's storm Jericho now instead of that. Right? He wants us to do. Can you imagine Joshua when he's giving the news to all the men? Well, I got a word for you from the Lord. Today I'm going to make flint knives and everybody that's not circumcised is going to be. Boy, I bet there was a line that whoever went first, eh? Yeah? I mean, you can understand what's happening there. They're in enemy territory and God says, I want you to be circumcised. And as they're circumcised, it's going to cause them to be incapacitated for a number of days. If you go back and you look in Genesis chapter number 24 or so, and you look at that story about when, you remember when Dinah was molested by some other guys of another group of people, Jacob and Leah's daughter named Dinah. You remember that story? And then the boys found out about it. And the boys went and they made a covenant with those men and they said, hey, here's what we'll do. If all of you will get circumcised, we'll make a covenant with you and we'll protect you and we'll be with you and everything else. And then all of a sudden, after they were circumcised, you know what happened? Simeon and Levi, we're talking about two of the tribes of Israel, two of those boys, they went while all the men of those people were circumcised and they killed them all with the sword. Not a stellar day in the life of Israel. Not a stellar day in the life of Simeon and Levi. But they brought those people to a place of vulnerability and they were incapacitated and they killed them all. And now God is asking the children of Israel to be circumcised in enemy territory. Why didn't he wait and do it? Why didn't he just do it on the other side of the Jordan before they crossed over? You know why? Because God's trying to find out if they're really going to trust Him. Amen? Because they're camped in enemy territory. Listen, you and I don't know where you live, but we live in Alabama, northeast Alabama for the most of us. And we think we're protected from the things of this world. Saturday morning on our way to Grant yesterday, there was a shooting in the parking lot down there and right down in town in Gunnersville. Amen? The evils of this world are creeping into northeast Alabama and will eventually creep up here on this mountain. I know you got your own evils as well, but I want to say to you, listen, we are camped right in the very midst of enemy territory as God's people. But He's all He's asking is you and I to be dependent upon Him and that we'll carve out everything in our life that's not pleasing to Him. You know, things in our life, if they do not glorify God, if they do not edify the church, and if they don't help you and I to grow, then it needs to go. Amen? If it's not for the glory of God, and if it's not for the edification of the church, and if it's not for my personal growth, then it needs to go. If it's hindering me, not everything that's not Christian is hindering me. You know, some of you like all kinds of music. As long as it's not hindering your walk, it's cool. But listen, if it's hindering your walk and hurting your walk, it needs to go. We're camped in the very center of enemy territory, and God's asking you and I to be vulnerable before Him and trust Him. And we have to make a decision. You know, the Bible says, you say, preacher, well, that sounds like meddling to me. You know, doesn't the Bible say that all things are lawful for me? They are. But not all things are expedient, not helpful, right? I live in the day of grace. I can do whatever I want to do because I live in grace and not according to the law. And I say to you that that's a dangerous attitude. Everything may be lawful to you, but not everything's helpful. Not everything's beneficial. Not everything is a blessing in your life. Sometimes if it's there and it's hindering and hurting, it needs to go. Amen? Because God's trying to change you and I into His image. And He can't do that until you and I are willing to yield and surrender. To the Jews, circumcision was a reminder that they were a marked people. They were a marked people. They were to never forget all that that they were servants of the living God and under the obligation to obey Him. And in our case, I think there's a similar truth at work for you and I. The Bible says you and I have been circumcised in the heart. All right? It's not about physical circumcision anymore for you and I, but it's about circumcision of the heart. Listen, I was reading the other day, and I saved this. Every once in a while, I save some things and put it in my notes so I can go back and not forget. Yeah, you know, and I read this comment by a guy named Bernard Levin. He said, for all of us, there's a hole inside each of us. However much we try to fill it with food and drink and relationship and possessions, that hole just aches. And then he says, you were created for a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And without that relationship, we ache. And some of you are trying to live the Christian life without ever having a relationship. And that's why that aching is still there. That's why that emptiness is still there. That's why that void is still there. And it causes you some pains and aches. So the only way to fix that is to come to Jesus. Amen? Run to Him. Fall on the mercy seat and repent of our sins. Trust Him as Lord of our life. But then for the rest of us, our walk, God is saying, hey, carve out that junk. Cut it away. Allow me to do something in your life. Brother Larry, have we got that? Are you able to run that this morning? Can you run? Yes, can you run that for us? Maybe you've seen this before. I'm going to remind you of just a little, and then I'll come back in just a second and watch with us for just a minute.
Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, that we're, in essence, His masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't see a masterpiece, you know? I mean, maybe a Picasso, you know? But I want to be a masterpiece. I want to be everything that God has created me to be, and so I go to Him in prayer, and I say, God, do whatever it takes to get things out of my life that don't need to be there. Mold me into the image of Your Son so that I can be Your masterpiece.
Hi.
Whoa. Who are you?
I'm God.
No, you're not.
Yeah, you just said the prayer, so here I am. That's how it works.
Oh, okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
You know what? If I made it snow in here, it'd get kind of yucky, and I really don't want to do that.
See, you're not God.
Why do you say that?
God wouldn't say yucky.
Yes, I do. It's a Greek word.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. If you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is a very short book. It only has 5 chapters.
Why is it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh.
Yeah.
If you're God, who's going to win the World Series this year?
You know what? I'm not so much into playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are God.
I gave it away.
You answered my question with a question.
I did. Yep, I do that. Don't I? Get it again. Step right up. Here we go. Okay.
All right. Hey, yeah. What's this about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right?
Hang on.
Yeah.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Here we go. Step okay. Right up. Here we go. All right?
Whoa.
Yeah.
How do you know what to chisel and what to leave?
I take out all the things in your life that aren't out of me, kind of like dead weight.
Ooh, speaking of that, could you chisel right in here? I just can't get rid of it. I mean, the other went away, but this, I mean, I've tried exercising, I've watched what I ate, I even did Pilates for a while. That was awkward. But if you could chisel,
all
I mean,
right?
Right?
Can I talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel, talk, chisel.
No,
talk,
no, no, chisel.
All right, most of my children just like to talk.
Not me. Bring on the chisel.
Here we go. All right. You have a lot of anger.
Ow.
Some pride. pride.
Ow.
Compare yourself to others instead of me.
Ow.
You're lazy, but you pretend like you're really, really busy. You have a problem with lust.
Okay, time out. I do not have a problem with lust.
You don't have a problem with lust.
No, I can do it anytime I want. Okay. Wait. Maybe we could take a little time out. I mean, I think I'm doing pretty good.
You are doing good, but when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away because ultimately you and others need to see my son. Here we go.
Okay, hold on. Don't take this the wrong way. It's just that when I start looking more like your son, people get uncomfortable around me, you know? I mean, even my friends at church, they're all like, oh, you're holier than thou. Why won't you do that, you know? I mean,
so what you're doing right now is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
I did not say that.
That's what you meant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to talk to you. I mean, you know everything I'm thinking. I'm just saying, you've done good work. Maybe we take a little break, a little time out. We'll come back to
right?
it.
What you're doing right now is so common. What you're doing right now is called control. Do you want to control things in your life, or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control.
No, chisel.
Here we go.
No, can we chisel where I want, though?
That's called control.
Okay.
You've been holding on to this for a long time. You ready for this?
Hurts.
This hurts me more than it hurts you.
Right. Ow! I don't think you understand this pain.
Don't talk to me about pain. I know all about pain. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but I also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again. And expecting different results. And there are the things in your life, you even think back to high school, that you've been doing that do not work in your life, but you go to these empty wells whenever you're hurting, whenever you're angry, whenever you're lonely and tired, but they do not work.
Yeah. No, okay. I'm thinking maybe
your
we could...
Thoughts are not my thoughts.
Oh, okay, but if we went another way,
your
we
ways
could...
are not my ways.
Okay, well look, I can't be good.
You can't be good. I've made you good. Be good. What?
Nothing.
What is it?
You wouldn't understand.
I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something one of my children has to say.
Try me. It's just, God, I've let you down so many times.
No, you were never holding me up. I hold you up with my victorious, righteous right hand, and don't you forget that. In this relationship, I hold you up.
Chisel away.
All right.
Just be prepared for what you're going to find in there. Because I know who's inside there. Because God, I get up every morning and I look at him in the mirror. And it is this scared little kid who gets up every day and tries to dress like an adult and act like an adult, but I can't. So just be prepared for what you're going to find in there.
You have listened to so many voices for far too long that aren't out of me. You think you're junk, don't you? You really, really, really think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't make junk. What does that say about me? How can I show you that my love for you has no boundaries? I know. Reach in your back pocket.
What?
Reach in your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach in your back pocket.
God.
Yes?
I was just saying, God, I'll do that right now.
You were just saying my name in vain.
You know what? It's a name. It's a saying.
It's more than a name. It's more than a saying. It's more than a bad habit. It's a name above all names. I want to teach you something about my name. Reach in your back pocket. You know what that is?
This is a page from a journal I had when I was younger. How'd you get this?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
I love Angie Holland.
Other side.
Sorry. I married her.
I was there.
Oh, yeah. Dear God, today I am turning everything over to you. I'm not going to hold on to anything anymore. Your word says that you will make me your masterpiece and use me to do great things. I don't see how that's possible, but I want that with all that I am. So please do whatever it takes.
That's amazing, isn't it? God doesn't make junk. Some of you have been beat down for so long by the things of this world and all the stuff that you've just decided that's the best your life's going to be. That's what you yield to now. And God says He doesn't make junk. And He's upholding you with His strong, righteous, mighty hand. Amen. And He's saying to you and I today, He says, do you want to walk in victory? Do you want all that I have for you? Do you want all that is yours because of who you are in Christ? Then let me chisel that junk out of your life. Every person in this room has got areas of their life that needs chiseling. Amen? There's not one here that walks in perfection. It's just, what do you want? What do you want? The children of Israel were told, until you've crossed the Jordan, you're camped in enemy territory, you must first consecrate yourself before you can possess and totally own what I've already given you. And you and I, if we're going to have everything that God wants for us and has already given, you and I have to consecrate ourselves today. I love those guys so much. They have so much good material. You can find it all on YouTube. Most of their stuff, new stuff, old stuff. This is very old. What about you and me this morning? We're going to stop right there. And we'll come back to the passage. What about us this morning? Some of you have just never made a decision to trust Jesus as Lord of your life. You're still running from that. You still get up every day. You dress like an adult and try to act like an adult believer. And yet there's just never been any yielding, surrender to the Lordship of Christ. I challenge you to be saved today. And then for the rest of us that say that we're walking in Jesus Christ, I pray that as we give the invitation, that if you want what God wants for you, would you make your way down, get in that altar with me, and let's pray and ask God, invite Him to chisel away at our life. Father, let's pray. Father, we just thank You so much for the day. We pray for Your outpouring of the Spirit of God in this place today. Lord, we ask that as we pause right now, we're asking for a time of commitment. We ask, Father, that You search. Lord, I'm looking at my own life right now, God, and I know that there are things that You want to chisel away out of my life. Some of them are repeated things. And so, Father, I pray this morning as we respond to the Lordship of Christ today, I pray that You're honored and that You're pleased, that You would change us and fashion us into the image of Your Son. It's a lifelong process. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. I run the race, Paul said. So, Father, have Your way. In Jesus' name we pray today. Amen and amen. Would you stand and sing with us this morning?